Talking girls, you know we got some problems. So tune on in the way we talk and how to solve them. We may laugh, we may learn, we might be your games, Miss MP.
Hi, Tyler. Where are you?
Yep, in North Carolina.
Nice, awesome. Well, we know as a player, things change very quickly with training and everything, so we really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
I gotta ask, did you ever play for Sean at Princeton?
Yes, 2 years, junior and senior year.
Oh my gosh, you got him when he, well, when we graduated, right, Sean?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Sean's the best.
He literally is like a second dad to me, honestly. And he's like changed our program so much. And like when I get to go back to Princeton in the off season, seeing him, seeing his wife and kids, and they've grown so much. I'm like, oh my God, it's like literally the best.
I haven't seen them probably in 5 years, but I saw a picture the other day and I'm like, what?
Yeah. And like, we feel wild. The same way too. He came to Fairfield and absolutely changed the way that our program runs.
Oh, completely.
Hey, for all listeners, Sean was our coach at Fairfield when we were in college. And it's so nice. It's so funny when you like meet another player that's had the same coach as you. And sometimes you have the same experience and the same opinion on them. And then other times the opinion can be so different. But Sean was top notch. Oh, my goodness.
He really cares more than just being like a soccer player. He literally like cares about you off the field, whatever you're dealing with. Like I could just go to him and be like, hey, this is what it is, or hey, I want to just have like an open conversation with you, and he's just there to listen.
We didn't have sports psychologists at Fairfield. They didn't like give one to us, but Sean was very close.
Yeah, very close to it.
Yep.
Have you felt that you had any coaches in the NWSL that are similar to that?
He definitely set a very high bar. So I've had different experiences with different coaches. I think he set the highest bar, but with Mark Parsons at the Thorns, and then with here with Freya, they've definitely been great in so many ways, and but also different, which is good too. So I think anytime you're with new coaches, to be coachable and open to hearing what they have to say is the best part.
Yeah, for sure. And so how has been playing for the Angel FC team?
Oh, it's honestly, it's amazing. When I got traded, I didn't expect it. And I just immediately said yes to this opportunity, not knowing what it was going to turn out to be. Being at the Thorns for 5 years, I kind of was in somewhat of a set role. I knew my role. I played my role. I was always had that mentality of being ready to go whenever I needed to sub in or start or not play at all. Like I knew my role. So coming to Angel City, I was like, I have no idea what to expect. I'm just going to take this opportunity and run with it. Definitely put myself in challenging environments, and I thrive under that challenge and pressure. So being an expansion team, you never really know what to expect. But every single person on this team, my teammates, the coaches, the staff, our amazing ownership group, have just bought in and been fully embracing this new challenge. And it's just like skyrocketed, and everybody's just like, LA is the place to be.
That's such a nice feeling, especially when it's the unknown and you don't know what to like expect. That's gotta be really nice to feel that everyone's invested and really wants to be there.
Oh, completely.
And so you were at the Thorns before. How do you feel you've grown as a player from Princeton to the Thorns to now? Like, how has your game changed? How have you changed mentally, physically?
Yeah, I feel like ever since even before Princeton, I've always kind of had that professional mentality of, you know, when I was young, I was always around professionals or mentors and everything, and obviously created my own mentoring company. So I've kind of just grown from that with that growth mindset of every new challenge I have, I just want to take it head on, straight on, go for it. There was a lot of unknowns. You never know what to expect. Nothing's going to be perfect, and no one is. I'm not. But I think with embracing that challenge and optimism in that has been the best part. And from college to then being a professional, I've grown so much, not only on the field with my game and balancing that, but also off the field in terms of embracing different experiences, different environments, being on the West Coast from the East Coast, but also just growing as a person, and every day learning something new and having different perspectives and learning from different people with different perspectives. And then also playing with the world's best. Like I played with Christine Sinclair for 5 years. I mean, I've learned so much from her, in that position as being a forward and everything, and just watching her every day. And then now at Angel City, coming in thinking I'm going to play forward, and I did a little bit. Now I'm transitioned to left or right back. So that's been obviously challenging and unexpected, kind of just got thrown into it. But I think that's the best part, is being like open to that. And I learned that from even before college. And then at Princeton, it was kind of really cemented into me. And then taking that professional mindset before being a pro has really grown my game in so many different ways.
There's so much to unpack there. First of all, position change. And most people would not be open to that, or would probably be a little reserved about it. So I love that you had that mindset, that growth mindset. And I heard you talking about your always on mindset, which sounds like part of that. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, so kind of that always on, always ready mindset is I want to be not only physically prepared in terms of recovery, positioning, where am I playing, but also mentally and emotionally too, because like mental health is a huge component to that. How am I performing on the field, but also a lot of it has to deal with off the field. In my day-to-day routine and everything, and make sure that's set, but also that can change too. So I think that always ready mindset is whether I'm playing and starting playing a full 90 minute game, I'm subbing in, or I'm playing not 0 minutes. Just being ready and also being there for the team no matter what, no matter what your role is. It is challenging, but it's also like very rewarding, because this is a team sport. You need every single person, whether you're on the field, on the bench, not playing at all, you need every single person to succeed and to be rewarded in that way.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it sounds like you're so passionate and committed and you always want to be on, which is amazing. But how do you avoid burnout? Like, have you ever experienced burnout of feeling unmotivated, like you don't want to even go to work, go play? And how do you get through that?
I don't think I've ever experienced like a full burnout effect. Have I been exhausted and tired? Yes. This is a grueling sport too at the same time. I just think back of when I was that three-year-old little girl being thrown out on that little grass pitch by my mom, and she was my first coach, and just like having so much fun with it and just laughing and smiling. So whenever I get in those moments of like, hey, maybe I'm not doing my best, because not every day is going to be great. Some days are good, some days are bad, some days I do well, some days are not as, you know, not the best. But I think in those moments, just taking it one step at a time, being very present, but also going to my teammates that I can rely on, my coaches, and just having that open conversation of like, hey, can we work more on this? Hey, I'm actually struggling with this. And knowing that I can trust them as well. And I think a huge component is trust. That does take time, but also being vulnerable in those moments of like, hey, this is how I'm feeling today. And just checking in with each other is the best part.
I love that you talk about just being so open and expressing how you're feeling and what you're going through, because I feel like so many players just hold that in, and it usually is why they end up burning out, because they feel so much pressure like building up inside of them. Would you also say that, so it sounds like you take care of your mental health in that aspect, but would you also say off the field that you're focusing on like taking rest days seriously and, you know, focusing on sleep, eating enough food, or focusing on your diet?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I run a mentoring company. So I always tell these young kids like, hey, it is hard. Whatever sport you're playing, doesn't matter if it's soccer, it could be any sport, but you have to take that time off, that rest day, because not only are you resting your body so you can perform and try to be 100% or close to it the next day, but also just for your mind and everything. Like, I'm not just a professional soccer player or athlete. Like, there's so many other facets to me. And I enjoy things outside the field that I'm as passionate about as soccer. So I think it's important to have those and find what you love to do outside the game, because then you can have that and have that mindset off the game. Because do I need to be on, switched on all day long about soccer? No. I am, you know, have a life. I have things outside of soccer that I love to do. So I think it's important to have other facets to yourself.
Absolutely. Can you tell us a little bit more about your company?
Yeah, so I started the National College Recruiting Center back in 2017 with my older brother, Hunter, who's a professional triathlete and lawyer. So like I said, we grew up with mentors, with coaches that were a lot older than us, also our parents. I wouldn't be in this position today without my parents. So basically it connects myself as the pro or collegiate level mentor to young scholar athletes, kind of around the high school age, and the parent or guardian, and then help them in terms of how can I help you improve in your sport? How can I help you in school in terms of time management, balancing both, but also like social life and recovery? And there's so many other facets to it that go into being successful on and off the field. So just helping them every single day, giving them, you know, words of advice, wisdom and everything, how to approach going to a teacher if you need help, how to write a letter to a college coach. So other little components of, hey, if you're striving to go Division I in college, whatever sport it is, here's some things that we can do to help you.
Sorry, I was going to say, where was she when we were in college and we needed all of this?
I would love to know, what do you think, is there anything trending the last few years that you felt a lot of your mentees have been like challenged with, or like, is there anything new that you're like, oh wow, a lot of student athletes are struggling with this right now?
Obviously it's always been super competitive, but it's getting even more competitive. So I think the best thing I try to tell them is be a well-balanced human being. So not just obviously be an incredible soccer player, but you still need to have the grades if you want to go to like top level schools and everything, because it's getting even more competitive. But also having that extracurriculars like community service, but that you're actually really passionate about and you consistently do. So there's other components to being a highly recruited athlete.
I'm so happy you bring this up, because it just goes to, it goes to what we believe in. Like, the athlete should feel holistically like whole and take care of themselves in so many ways. And I feel like connecting with community and doing stuff like that, even working on things that you're passionate about that's not soccer related, just makes you like more fulfilled and happier. And I'm sure you agree. You probably feel so much more whole, because you're not just a soccer player. You're, there's so many things that you're interested in, and it's just so refreshing to hear.
Yeah, I try to like give them an advice, and sometimes they're already doing that, which is great. And I think the mentees that I connect with and work really well with kind of already have that in them, because obviously their parents or guardians have instilled that, but I can just drive that a little bit more and help them. And if I can in some way help their lives, provide positivity in their life, just even a little bit, I know what I'm doing is enough for them, because I know I had that as a kid. And honestly, I think I always tell them too, to thank your parents every day or guardians, because I wouldn't be here honestly without my parents driving me to practice, making my lunches, getting me the right nutrition and everything, just being that biggest support, my biggest fans, and they still are. So I think it's really crucial to have that. I kind of create like a team support. Like, it's not just me, it's not just the parents, but it's like all three of us connected. And I learned that a lot from Princeton. It's kind of this idea of like team around the team. And that's also like why I wanted to go to Princeton, because even when I visited as a female athlete, like I felt that support immediately when I stepped on campus.
Yeah, what was your recruiting process like?
Yeah, so I took my time with recruiting. I didn't technically like verbally commit to Princeton, which Ivy Leagues are a little bit different with that, till the fall of my senior year in high school. So I really took my time in terms of like, I visited all the schools I wanted to, took the time to talk to the coaches, visit the campus, not just the soccer side of it, but also like actually sit in classrooms and go to classes, because I was like, can I see myself here? And I think that's really important, because it's 4 years, and you wanna make sure it's the best 4 years. You want to actually enjoy it and not just it just be this grueling grind and everything. And it is, but at the same time, you want to be fulfilled, enjoy the process. But definitely took my time with it. And then Princeton really was just the right fit for me, and love my 4 years.
I feel like a lot of players would be really scared to wait for their senior year for fall. Did you feel pressure, or did you know, like, I'm going to take my time, I need it to make the right decision?
There was slight pressure, but at the same time, because some schools wanted me to commit right away, as soon as I went and visited them, I was like, you know what? I need to get the full scope of this. It is a big decision in my life. I was never pressured by my parents to like, you need to commit here, you need to commit here. I was like, it was fully my decision. They were going to back that up completely. But yeah, definitely needed to take the time, and then it worked out.
Absolutely. It definitely worked out. And I think that's good for a good note for all the parents listening. Like, yes, you so badly want your kid to choose the school and get whatever scholarship they can, but you want to make sure it's the total right fit for them. So they have to get the full scope and make sure they see everything and sit in the classrooms and see it from a student perspective. Because a lot of the players we've talked about, it's like, could you see yourself there if you couldn't play the sport? If you ended up not being able to play soccer, could you still be there? And that's such a huge component of it.
Oh, completely.
So before Princeton, as an athlete in high school, middle school, did you play anything else, or was soccer always like your number one?
So I say soccer is my first love, and it is. I started playing soccer, but my family is super like athletic and sporty. We kind of have this like team motto. It's three sports a day is the Lucy way. So we grew up playing, we do tennis, swimming, golf, hockey, literally any sport we could possibly play, and our parents just threw us in and say, hey, do you like it? Do you enjoy it? Do you want to keep doing it? So obviously I have an older brother and a younger brother, so we were always just thrown into it, and I was super competitive with them because I always wanted to beat my brothers. So definitely got really tough from that. Definitely helped my mentality growing up. But yeah, we played every single sport, and honestly, sports have shaped my life in so many different ways with terms of building teamwork skills and also just like my confidence and being courageous, not only on the field, in the pool, on the court, wherever it is, but also like off the field within business and everything of, hey, if I'm in a meeting, I can work with the team around me. Who am I working with? How do I get it so that we're all successful?
Your family sounds fun. It sounds like I would like going on vacation with them a lot. Like, I love all the activities. It's great.
Oh, anytime people come over, we're literally going for a run, going for a swim, going water skiing, whatever. This is the off season. not in season. But yeah, we have like my dad built a pull-up bar for us. So we're always doing like pull-up challenges and everything. So it's definitely a fun time.
That's really cool. And so soccer was your first love. Was there a point when there was a role model on the field that you really felt inspired for it to continue to be like the biggest love of sports for you?
Yeah, I think it was towards when I was like 11, 12, where I was like, okay, I'm now traveling a lot for soccer and everything. There was the professional league, so I was always watching the Washington Freedom and everything. At times I would even jump in training with them when I was like 13, at brief moments and everything. So that was kind of the moment I was like, oh, I can see myself like doing this. Even when I was younger, I was like, I want to be a professional soccer player. But like watching them and everything, I was like, oh, this is absolutely what I want to do. And watching Mia Hamm and Abby Wambach and everything, I was like, they're literally pushing the envelope and they're taking it even further. Still are now being owners of Angel City. So it's huge to see that and just what they've accomplished, not just on the field, which is immense. And they're the best in the world, but also off the field, because now seeing what they can do off the field, leading the way, and being investors and owners of a professional women's soccer team, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, absolutely love that. That's why it's so important for everyone listening. Watch soccer and like go to the games, buy tickets and go watch women's soccer, and you will absolutely fall in love with it and know if this is something that you want to do and play professionally. Because we didn't have that many. I mean, we had the 99ers, but we didn't have that many female soccer role models growing up as much as the young girls do now. So it's such an exciting time for women's soccer.
Oh, completely. I think Angel City is doing it the right way. They're leading the charge, and they're setting the example of what it should be. So I think as the game is growing, it can only keep growing. And hopefully I've got ideas going further of taking the entire league public, an IPO. So hopefully that can happen. But I think Angel City is really starting the process of what can be achieved for the future.
Yeah, it's been so fun to watch the growth of it all, too. But obviously, it's not easy getting anywhere in soccer. What's like the biggest hurdle that you've experienced as a player in the professional league?
I think just obviously being at Portland for 5 years, showing up, like we already had the fan base was there. Obviously, it took 10 years and still growing and everything. But just having the continuous support in every single market in the NWSL is what we're striving for. Because Angel City is doing it in so many unique and different ways. and pushing the envelope. We just need every single market in the NWSL and in the world to do that as well. But you're already starting to see that everywhere. In England, so many people are early, like, selling out tickets and everything, which is huge.
I know, it's been so great to see, like, I feel like every other week on Instagram, I see, like, a new, them setting a new attendance record or a new rivalry match that's sold out. And it's just been really, really cool to see that growth, because that is, like, a problem or a you know, a hurdle that women's soccer has been around, but you didn't realize it when you're little. You didn't, you know, you didn't understand the magnitude of what it means to have 40,000 people want to come and fill out a stadium to watch a women's soccer game. So I love that. One final serious question. I'm wondering, what is the biggest lesson that soccer has taught you?
I think the biggest lesson soccer has taught me is to be present in the moment, to enjoy it, to not take the little things for granted, because the little details matter the most. And I think soccer has taught me in my entire life, with everything I do, is I'm a role model with my actions and a mentor with my words. No matter it's on the field, off the field, if I can inspire one young kid to just try the game, try anything, and do it with passion and with your whole heart, then I know what I'm doing is enough.
Snaps, that was good. That was, Alana, you did say final question, but I have one more question. I know you just said about making the teams public. What do you want to do way down the line when you retire? I feel like you're going to still stay involved with soccer. So what are your, like, dreams, ambitions with that?
Oh, hopefully I'm playing for the next 10 years, like Sinclair and all other players. I don't know how they do it, but they're obviously amazing. I definitely want to, hopes of taking the league public, continuing to grow the women's game. Definitely still want to be around soccer with soccer, no matter what. But yes, I think this league is still in its infancy, that it can go further so that everybody, no matter whether you play or not, or you're a fan or not, can have some type of investment and ownership in this league. And I think it'll grow immensely. So hopefully, you know, I could be commissioner one day. That's hopes. I don't know.
You just said that so, like, nonchalantly. I love
it. Just some future.
I love it.
Well, yeah, that's amazing. And thinking like that is what's going to grow the game. So I can't wait to see you be commissioner one day. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Do you want to finish up with some rapid fire, guys?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Easy. Well, I think they're pretty easy, but let's see what you think. Carpool karaoke or Dancing with the Stars?
Dancing with the Stars. I love dancing.
Oh, there we go. Oh, nice.
You're like the opposite of me. I literally can't dance. And I can't sing. I would choose neither.
I can't sing.
I would choose neither. Would you rather spend the day at the gym or on the field?
On the field.
You're having post-game snack. Are you going sweet or salty?
Oh, I got to go sweet.
Iced or hot coffee? You can only have one for the rest of your life.
Iced.
Would you rather go out or stay in?
Stay in.
All right, you're going to choose salsa for the rest of your life or guac?
Guac.
Correct answer.
Beep test or 300s?
Oh, 300s.
Read or watch TV?
What was the first part?
Would you rather read or watch TV?
Read.
What are you reading right now? Anything that you'd recommend?
I am reading Flying Angels by Daniel Steele.
Daniel Steele, I've definitely read. All right, I'm going to put on my list, Flying Angels. Do you ever use the Goodreads app?
I haven't used it.
It's great. You can put, like, every book you've read on it and rate it, and then it gives you, like, a ton of other suggestions for books.
Oh, I'm going to do that.
You, like, follow people. Yeah. Stuff. I feel like it's my new favorite social media.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. Say it. I feel like I'm old now saying that.
Say that was...
I like it more than TikTok.
Would you rather scuba dive or jump out of an airplane?
Oh. Both are risky, but... jump out of an airplane.
In the off season.
Don't tell anybody.
All right, you have a day off from practice. What is more urgent for you to get done, get a fresh haircut or a fresh mani and pedi?
Mani pedi.
Are mani and pedis a waste of time for professional athletes?
Usually, like, pedis are, because my feet are just going to get stepped on and bruised anyway. Manicure, I always do pink, so yeah, I usually change it up some pink color.
That's true. The calluses just return the next day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not really worth it.
It's really not.
You're a soccer player, too. You're like, leave the calluses.
Yeah. No, I was at the nail salon, and the woman was trying to rub off my bone bruise on my nail. She thought it was nail polish. She was trying to rub it off, and wow. I was like, that is a bruise on my nail.
Stop.
Oh, man.
Last question. What's your biggest soccer girl problem?
My biggest soccer girl problem is trying to find new pink cleats.
Are you really into pink? It sounds like it.
Well, because so every team, this is how it goes. Every team I'm on, like even at Princeton, I found like orange cleats. Like I had these like orange tiger stripe cleats. So then, and like an orange headband or black or anything. So I always just go with the team colors. And then at Portland, it was always red, red headband, red cleats. Now at Angel City, I got pink nails, pink headband, pink cleats, but I'm like, I need to find new pink cleats.
Well, it's hard because the pink is like a pale, light pink. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not something
it's
that
Solar,
you. Can...
Yeah, so it's like Solar Rosa. So like, I like the bright pink, but even that's hard to find right now.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep an eye out for you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Thank you so much for coming on. It was great chatting with you, and we're so excited to continue to watch you crush it. And we wish you all the success.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.
Soccer girls, you know we got some problems. So tune on in, away we talk and how to solve them. We may laugh, we may learn, we might be your king.